Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. My favorite thing about Armoire is all the different style and occasion options, from casual to athleisure to night out, work formal, work casual, a total of 8 different occasions, 3 weather options, and 11 categories, including accessories, outerwear, and blazers, just to name a few. With Armoire, you can always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. You know the feeling. You open your closet, it's full, but you have quite literally nothing to wear. You're bored with everything in there. Enter Armoire. Armoire allows you to rent high-quality designer clothes for every occasion. Whether you're planning your outfit for date night, packing for a conference, or in need of a gown for a black tie event, you will be the best-dressed person in the room. Right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off the first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/parenting. That's armoire.style. armoire.style/parenting to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. As an adult and a mom of a son, both with ADHD, I know navigating the expectations of life with ADHD can be a challenge, but finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. With the right resources, you can turn your ADHD into your superpower. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD, online visits, refills, and a 24/7 care team made for you. Starting to take care of your ADHD is as easy as 1, taking a 1-minute free assessment to see if Done can help. 2, booking an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as today or tomorrow. 3, start receiving ongoing care, enjoy online visits, personalized treatment plan, worry-free refills, and 24/7 care. Take a free 1-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Done for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn your ADHD into your strength.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Your Village Podcast, Parenting Beyond Discipline, the place to learn about all things parenting and get your questions answered. I'm your host, Erin Royer. So this week we have another sleep question. It's about scheduling and things getting off schedule, and a great daycare question as well. And I'll be sharing also about how to share family news, particularly bad news with kids. We had some not so great news in our family yesterday, and I told my husband we needed to share it with the kids. So I'll talk a little bit about our process in that and how to go about that in sharing some negative news with your family. So the first question is about sleep, and these are popular questions, these sleep questions. So from Nikki, I love your podcast, and since I have discovered it, I'm working my way back through all the episodes. I listen when my toddler is asleep and I'm doing chores. I love it. I love to listen to podcasts while I'm doing chores too, especially while I'm doing dishes or cooking dinner. It's perfect. I have also started working my way through the classes, which are great. My question is about early wake-ups. My daughter is 14 months old, and for the past few weeks, she has been waking fairly consistently at 4:30 and not going back to sleep. She has always been a bit of an early riser, but 4:30 is getting a bit ridiculous. We have a pretty consistent routine on the days that I'm home with naps 8:30 to 9:30 and 12 to 1 or 1:30. She does go to daycare 3 days a week and naps are very inconsistent there. I've tried talking to them about it, but it hasn't made much difference, and we're thinking of shifting her to a different facility anyway, for a few other reasons. In the evening, we start our routine with dinner around 4:30, followed by bath, PJ's book, milk, and her cot between 5:30 and 6. We only get home around 5 on daycare days, so the routine has to be compressed a bit and bedtime is more like 6 or a bit after. Sometimes she goes to sleep on her own after I put her in her cot after a brief protest cry. Other nights we go back into the room if the crying escalates or doesn't stop after a couple of minutes, and I lie on the floor beside her bed without touching her and just say, "It's sleep time, Maddie," once, and then I don't talk or engage. She will then roll around and chat to herself for a while and eventually go to sleep. This can take around 30 minutes. And actually, this is common, actually, for kids to take around 20 to 30 minutes to fall asleep. That's actually not too bad. She is mostly fairly good at sleeping through the night, apart from these early wake-ups. She sleeps in a cot in a dark room with white noise. It's summer here in New Zealand, but she's waking before it's light. She wakes up upset and still seems very tired, so it doesn't seem to me like she is ready to wake up at that time. I've tried going into her room and sitting with her like we do at bedtime, but she screams and reaches for me. I have also tried holding, cuddling, stroking her, and even tried putting her in bed with us to get a little more rest, but none of it works. She's just awake and upset until we get up properly and turn on the light. We do need her to wake at 5:30 to 6 for us to get ready for work, which is why our routine is fairly early. I should also mention that even if we have a bad evening and she goes to sleep later than normal, her wake-up time is the same. I'm hoping you have some suggestions to get our hour of sleep back in the morning. Thanks so much, Nikki. So, I did respond to Nikki since she was a member and answered this question right away. And what I shared with her is that it does sound like her daughter, Maddie, is ready to be awake at that time. But that doesn't mean that she can't shift some things around and make it work better for the parents. So, it sounds like Maddie's getting plenty of sleep since she is sleeping all the way through and then waking up at 4:30. If she's waking up a bunch in the middle of the night, that would tell me she doesn't know how to put herself back to sleep. My suggestion is to get things shifted around to make it so that Maddie is more likely to wake up around 5:30 or 6. So, the 5:30 or 6 is a really early bedtime. It seems that the sleep schedule, it just shifted early. So I put up something on both the Facebook page and on my Instagram account at IronMom2020 about sleep and the common amounts of sleep that kids need by age, kind of the averages or the range, actually the average range by age, starting at newborn all the way through up through 6+. So you can check that out there, the Your Village Facebook page or my Instagram at IronMom2020. There is a graphic there that talks about average sleep. At 14 months, toddlers should be getting somewhere between 12.5 to 13.5 hours a day, or 14 tops. So that's for a year. And by 18 months, it's 13.5 hours of sleep. So Maddie's right in between that. So 12.5 to 13.5 or 14 hours in any 24-hour period. If she's asleep by the later time at 6:30, that's 10 hours right there. But she's getting 10 to 10.5 at night, plus the hour nap in the morning, and an hour and a half in the afternoon, which is 12.5 to 13 hours, which is right on target. My suggestion for Nikki is to push the nighttime by 15 minutes every 4 to 5 days. Now, I know that at this point, when they have done a late bedtime, the wake up in the morning is the same, but that's because it's not a consistent thing. It's like a one-off. And so her body clock is still used to waking up at 4:30. So she's going to wake up at 4:30, which is why you want to do 4 to 5 days to get her body a chance to adjust and adjust to the later bedtime. And her body will adjust in the mornings and push it. And then you do this every 4 to 5 days because she'll start to catch on. And then you'll push it another 15 minutes until you get to a time. And you probably want to do an hour, which will get her to 5:30 in the mornings. Probably won't happen the first morning you push, or maybe even the second. But by 3 or 4, or definitely by 5, it'll start to push up those 15 minutes. Then also you want to push up the rest, though, too. You want to push up the morning nap and the afternoon nap so that everything is shifted. Otherwise, it's hard for the body to adjust. It's going to mess up the nap time, so you got to push everything 15 minutes. That'll get her body adjusted to the new time slowly. Here's what you want the schedule to look like. Bedtime at 7. Wake up would be 5:30 to 6, so that's 10.5 to 11 hours. The morning nap between 10 and 11, so you want to push that out a little bit. And then the afternoon nap, start put her down at 1:30, then she'll sleep till 2:30 or 3. So that's 12.5 to 13.5 hours a day. If she's not waking up until 3, she'll be more awake in the evening and ready to go until 7. And the whole schedule just shifts to make it work a bit better for the longer nights and the later mornings. The other thing is, though, that you want to make sure that she is awake from her nap. If she just happens to have a long nap day, you want to make sure that she is awake by 3:30 or 4. Don't let her sleep past that 4 o'clock for sure, maybe even 3:30. You're going to want to go wake her up so that she's ready to fall back to sleep in the evening. It might be kind of a cranky few hours in there if she's trying to catch up on some sleep, but you just want to make sure you're not going to throw her whole schedule off. So you want to wake her up by 3:30, maybe 4 o'clock. You can test it. If you let her go till 4 and she has a really bad night once or twice, when you do that, you'll know 4:30 is too late, and you can make 3:30 that cutoff for her where she has to be up from her nap.
Hey, Parenting Beyond Discipline listeners. Ready to create a home that fosters love, warmth, and style? Look no further than Home Threads, your partner in crafting a nurturing environment. At HomeThreads.com, explore a thoughtfully curated collection of furniture designed for families who believe in positive parenting. From cozy reading nooks to durable playroom essentials, our pieces are crafted to enhance your parenting journey. Home Threads has an incredible selection of furniture, decor, and accessories like throw pillows, blankets to snuggle under for family movie nights or reading time that helps you create the warm, cozy home that is the foundation for happy family memories. I love all the great pieces I've gotten from Home Threads to finish the look in my home. Gorgeous yet durable and cozy accent throw pillows, blankets, and some really cute wall decor. I have an ocean theme throughout my downstairs, so I got a couple of really great wall pieces to finish that look, and some picture frames for the family photos. Visit HomeThreads.com/parenting today and get a code for 15% off your order. That's HomeThreads.com/parenting to get your code for 15% off your order, because great parenting deserves a great home. Home Threads, love where you live. This episode is sponsored by By Heart. By Heart is an infant nutrition company whose mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, By Heart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. Our blend includes the most abundant protein found in breast milk, alpha-lac, as well as lactoferrin, the number one protein found in colostrum, along with broken-down, partially hydrolyzed proteins. By Heart is an easy-to-digest formula. In addition to its patented protein blend, our formula includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. By Heart is the only U.S.-made infant formula to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with the code parenting for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply.
So I got another question. This is about a daycare question. I love the daycare questions because these are always, you know, parents don't always know what is right or normal or, you know, is okay or some of the better things for their kids through daycare. I have another great daycare question coming up in a couple of weeks. It's always good to kind of question and know what to look for in daycares. But this is a really easy question. Rachel asks, my question has to do with this week's podcast about daycare centers. My boys, one is 4 and the other almost 1, just recently had to change daycare or kindy due to severe flooding in our town. Our usual center has been closed for about 5 to 6 weeks and will be closed at least until the end of this month, probably up to 8 to 9 weeks total. Now, I'm not sure about whether we should uproot the boys again to go back to the old center. I feel the new one is better for our 4-year-old as it's Reggio and very play-based, which he seems to really enjoy. But I feel the old center was better for my youngest as he was in the baby room there and will be there for another 6 months. The baby room has restricted access to the older kids and has fewer kids, meaning fewer sick days. So really, I'm just asking for an opinion on which is most important. I don't know if it's worth changing the boys again and going through the settling in phase again. Any advice is greatly appreciated. So I answered Rachel. I agree. This is totally a matter of opinion, and it's really about what works best for their family. I suggested she not worry so much about the uprooting and returning due to the fact that the kids he was playing with will already be there, or some of them will return back to the old school. So that may be a really easy transition for him. As far as developmentally, it does sound like the new school is a better fit for the older child and therefore will also be a better fit for the younger one once he is ready to be more into the play-based learning and engaged in the social, play, and other aspects. So the other things to consider I told her was that as long as her younger child has a healthy immune system, it's actually good and okay for kids to get exposed to germs and grow an immunity anyway. Once they move back, the youngest would only have about 4 months left in the baby room anyway, it sounds like, according to Rachel's description. So it's really just a judgment call. In the long term for the development, where she would like them to be versus the payoff of those 4 months for the younger son being in the baby room. She just has to weigh those out. And then would she want them both to be back in the Reggio school or just leave them at the original school? And then the other option is to have them at two different places. Now, this may not be ideal. I don't know how far apart they are, but it is an option. If it's just for a four-month period or a six-month period, can they swing that? Can one parent drop off one, another drop off the other? Is that a possibility? If the baby room feels like it's really worth doing that sacrifice for a short time. So these are just a lot of different options I threw out there for Rachel to weigh out, and hopefully they were able to come to a good decision that worked for them. So there's just a lot of things to think about when it comes to preschools and when you have kids of different ages and what's going to be better for one kid or another kid, or how you're going to weigh that out with your different children for their age ranges, their age groups, and what school might be best. And one child might have to sort of get by for a little bit until it's a better fit. There's also a class on the website called Choosing a Preschool. And that goes into some details about all the different options in preschools, the different ways that they teach, different ways of learning, different personalities and families and values, that you may find some schools a better fit for you than others. So if you're curious about choosing a preschool or some ways to go about that, that's a great class I recommend. Now, so after the break, I'm going to share about breaking more difficult news to kids, how to do this, taking age and temperament into consideration. But first, a word from our new sponsor, Green Chef. What is Green Chef? Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company that makes eating well easy and affordable with plans to fit every lifestyle. Green Chef lets you choose from a wide variety of easy to follow lifestyles with select organic ingredients, with meal plans that include paleo, vegan, vegetarian, pescatarian, Mediterranean, heart smart, lean and clean, keto, gluten-free, and omnivore. Recipes are quick and easy with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to guide you. Ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepared. Enjoy clean ingredients you can trust, seasonally sourced, for peak freshness. You can switch your meal plan whenever you're ready to try a new way to eat. Now, I loved how easy it was to see all the meal plan options on their site and choose one that was right for our family. Within a few days, I got two meals shipped directly to our front door for our entire family that were healthy and something new to try and so easy to prepare. My family especially loved the Korean noodle bowls. So if you're a busy family like us but don't want to feed your kids the usual unhealthy, fried, greasy, prepackaged fare that you might get at the grocery store, Green Chef is definitely the way to go. For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/parenting. Again, for $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/parenting to have your own fresh, healthy meals shipped right to your door. Now that we're back from our break, let's talk about how to share bad news with kids. Now, I'm not going to get into the subject of death, and no one in our house is terminal, so I want to state that right off the bat. But sometimes the news we need to share with kids is about death in particular. And this is a very particular subject that has developmental understanding or lack of understanding. And I'll cover that topic specifically at some later point. I'll go over exactly what kids understand at what age and how to discuss death and answer all their deepest life questions that make us realize just how much we don't know. But in this case, I'm talking about sharing news such as moving to a new town, which depending could be construed as good or bad, or a parent needing to go for surgery or some sort of medical treatment that could affect the family that might scare kids. Divorce is another topic, but also there's a lot of nuances to that one as well, and I'll cover more in detail on that in a different episode. Or like in our family's case, it was a job loss. So as in all things, kids of different ages or personalities will understand or care more or less. Younger kids, toddlers, and under won't even know or care about most things. And anything like a move can, in most cases, easily be painted as exciting and an adventure because they aren't attached to friends or their activities or school all that much yet. The only time this could be a bit harder is if you're moving away from family, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, something like that. But once kids hit the age of around 5, these are things they will definitely notice and most likely, depending again on personality, they'll care about on some level. In our case, our kids are well aware that the bulk of the family support comes from their papa's job. They also are definitely going to notice at ages 8, 8, and 10 that papa isn't going into work anymore. So it was important to me and to us that we talk to them about it, let them know that we have it all under control rather than them noticing and then asking about it. That would very likely send a message that there's something to hide or gloss over. So regardless of what stress or change your family is going through, the first rule is that if your kids will notice, tell them before they start to figure anything out. So if you're moving, even if you have a 2-year-old, explain about the move, all the great things about it, even if it's not a positive move from your adult perspective. But rather than just packing boxes and waiting for them to ask or figure it out, you want to be the first one to bring it up. You want to find the positives and accentuate them to your kids, especially the younger ones. The older they are, the more they will know and understand the negative aspects, or they may have negative aspects of their own, such as new schools and leaving friends. So address their concerns. Be ready to answer them. Don't just sweep them under the rug. Oh, you'll be fine. You'll make new friends right away. It's true, they probably will, but it doesn't erase the loss. So allow them to feel sad and help them process it and also problem solve how they will keep in touch with their other friends, how they might make new friends, what you're going to do to help them and support them, all of those things. And today it's easier than ever to keep in touch with friends when you move away. When my daughter's best friend moved away last fall, she was super, super sad. But they would FaceTime almost every week, and Allison showed Taylor around her new house and her new room once they moved in. They don't FaceTime very much anymore, but they both seem to have moved on. But it was a great way for them to stay in touch for a while, and I'm sure they still will every now and again, but she still asks when we can go visit Allison. Now, you want to also ask if your kids have questions and answer them to the best of your abilities in age-appropriate ways. You want to let your child be the guide. If they're asking the question, they are sophisticated enough to know some sort of answer, even if it's a hard one to answer. Do your best to give some sort of answer that is both realistic, yet with as positive a lens as possible. If you have to move to a smaller house, talk about all the great things about the neighborhood and the house. The older the child, the more they'll know it isn't because you want to cram the 4 of you into a 2-bedroom house, so you want to be honest but positive. Times are tight, but this is a way you can still stay in the same school and we can save some extra money. It'll be different, but the backyard is amazing with that hill and we'll build a fort up there. I think you get the idea. Honest but positive as possible. Now, in our case, we just let the kids know that their dad won't be working at his company any longer and that sometimes these things happen, but that we will be okay. Dad will find another job, but we will be just fine in the meantime, and that the good news is that he will be around more for the time being to pick them up after school and take them to activities. So that's how we put our positive spin on it. Then we asked if they had questions. And to be honest, the boys were mostly just curious about the potential loss of the theme park passes more than anything. The good news is we were able to be honest with them about what's going on while shielding them from any of the concern or worry. That's our job. And that was the important piece, that we are that buffer for them. It's out of their control and they need to feel like mom and dad have it all in the bag. Even if we maybe don't quite, but they don't need to know that. If you want to learn more about positive discipline, tools to overcome any other common parenting struggles, or just want to have all the tools available to raise really amazing kids, be sure to check out any of the 50-plus classes on the website at yourvillageonline.com. If you have a parenting question you'd like answered, send an email to podcast@yourvillageonline.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.